Hello, SEO 101 listeners. Webmasterradio.fm introduces over 101 reasons to love your smartphone even more. Introducing the Webmasterradio.fm mobile app, now available in the iTunes Store or on Google Play. Listen to SEO 101 live every Monday or download thousands of past episodes or download shows like SEO Rockstars, Search Pulse, The Daily Search Cast, and more. Download the Webmasterradio.fm mobile app for iTunes and Google Play now.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing. And my co-host is John Karkow, Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Well, how's all the traveling been, my friend?
Oh, it's just starting. I got leaving for Portland tomorrow. Then a week after that, I'm going back out to the next coast, the other coast, to do SMX, West, I guess. So it'll be fun. Lots of traveling coming up real soon.
Do you enjoy it?
I do. I actually like traveling. It's fun. It's better just sitting behind the desk day after day after day. Plus, going to the conferences is always great because you get to network with people, see people you only see a couple times a year. So I love that.
I love that. And there are the fringe benefits, the odd party.
The odd party, the free booze. Yeah, that helps.
I miss them. I haven't been one in a while. I don't think I will be for a while, but looking forward to it someday. Yeah. It's just lots going on, you know?
Yeah, if anybody's going to be out at SMX West, it's in San Jose this year. It's just a couple weeks out. Hit me up. Love to meet you and say hi.
Cool. And he's a good drinking buddy, so I'm sure you'll have fun too.
I need a glass of rum and a cigar, and I'm good to go.
Brasco was kind enough to help us out with some of this content for today because there's certainly a lot going on. Jeez, where do you want to begin? Do you want to start at the top, or is there one you'd like to start with first?
I was kind of interested just because it hit home to me more specifically, since I do a lot of work on a lot of news sites. The what happened over the weekend in the UK, where there was this flower shop that basically bought a lot of paid content on a bunch of newspaper sites in the UK, and they got busted, as well as the newspaper sites got busted for selling links. So there were links in this paid content. They call them advertorials. So basically, it's an article published, and it's paid for by a sponsor, and basically there's links in the content. But these newspaper sites didn't nofollow the links, and a lot of them got hit pretty hard, basically. One of the responses I saw said that they went from page ranks of 6, toolbar page ranks of 6, down to 0. So it was a pretty hard hit for these newspaper sites, and the floral shop got busted just as well. So, and then again, Matt puts out a blog post basically saying, we've told you this before, paid links will get you in trouble, and this is counted as paid links, even though it's in the middle of this big chunk of content, it's a paid link.
So, you know, they kind of bring up a bit of the bile thinking about Google these days, and it pissed me off. I'm in a bit of a rant today in a couple things, but that just, they're so full of themselves. Because really, they should apply a little of their common sense in their algorithm, which is, it's a paid link. Just discount it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
They're just being, I can't say it on the air. They really piss me off when they do
stuff. Sure you can. Come on. Well, the funny thing about it is WebPro News, there's a story on WebPro News that Brasco put on here. After this whole thing came out, they're doing it themselves. They're posting content. They're putting articles on places with links to their own products. Chromebooks got it, Chrome. So people are saying, well, are you busting yourself? And that happened. When did that happen? That happened recently, like last year. The same thing happened, didn't it?
Yeah. It's actually Chris Crum posted about it on WebPro News. And he's got pictures of, everything. It's beautiful. It's on Globe and Mail in Canada here. It's got literally it says a special information feature brought to you by Google, and all the links are not nofollowed. They are so
doing the same thing.
So full of shit. Really, And that's not the word I was not worrying about saying. I'd say that any day, but they are, you know, and it's just made them look like fascists.
but I can tell you, our newspaper sites probably close to a year ago came to me and they talked about, we want to sell advertorial content. And we had a long, frank discussion about this. Our technical teams are before they were able to put the nofollows in automatically, we blocked those advertorial pages from search so they wouldn't get indexed. Once we had that capability to where we could put the nofollows on there, we opened them up. So we did it. I mean, you can do it right. It's not like you know, it's bad. You can have advertorial content. You just have to protect yourself. As a newspaper, as a news organization, you have to think about yourself and your site as opposed to just the dollars you're getting for selling those advertorial, you know, ads, basically.
Yeah. But, you know, imagine, you know, a lot of newspapers don't, well, frankly, have the savvy, but maybe even the money, because times are tight, to have a full-blown SEO team like you guys do. And in those cases, Google has, I guess they have the right to do anything with their own indexes, but these days they don't really, you know, frankly, they've lost their rights to do a lot of this stuff because now they are the resource and they've got to be more careful, you know?
So what do you,
more
what
warnings.
Do you, so what do you mean by like, that? You think that there needs to be governmental regulations about what they can and can't do because they've become such a behemoth?
Well, I do think that there is a certain level, which I hope that, you know, newspapers can go at them and say, look, you know, here's examples of how you've done it. And, you know, they need to get off their high horse. And someone needs to kick them off pretty good.
It's interesting that you bring this up because I hadn't really thought about this in this context before. But if you think about it, internet access and potentially even search may get to the point someday where it's considered a utility, like telephone service, electric, gas, because it's so integrated into our everyday lives and everything that we need to live, especially when people are turning to paying all their bills online. A lot of people are getting rid of home phone to go towards voice over IP. So internet access could easily turn into a utility-based system, just like your phone service and water and electric at some point in the future. Then there's going to be certain kinds of government regulations that are going to have to be centered around it that they're going to have to follow. And whether search fits into that or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I'm frankly, I hope they never get involved with the government because they always screw things up. But in this case, you know, Google has to self-govern and they've got to start taking a closer look at themselves because they're getting too full of themselves.
Well, we'll think of the advantages if internet access was utility. So when Sandy hit the East Coast, a lot of the federal government aid went to turning on power, getting people their water and heat and electricity back. And, you know, internet could be part of that at some point because it's that essential to our daily lives.
True, right now, but once you do that, though, the content on it would start to have different ramifications for liability on the government. And, oh, God, they'd find ways to get their fingers and everything.
Oh, it'll be a mess. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone starts heading down that road the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, as it is, this new copyright system coming out in the States, what did you probably know the name of it better than I do now. Do you know?
I do, but I can't. It's not on the tip of my tongue.
Okay. Anyway, it's from what I read, it's going to make you watch like a video if it finds that you're doing these copyright things, or somehow I guess you won't be able to get access to the internet again until you've finished watching a clip or a video explaining what you're doing is wrong. And then once you do that, you go through and it's a certain amount of strikes. And then at that point, they start to cut your internet speeds and blah, 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 blah. It's interesting.
I haven't seen that one, so that one's new to me. You have to send me a link on that.
Yeah, it's coming to play pretty soon, so.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and all the ISPs are having to, they're being pushed into policing it. So it's literally the ISPs, which makes it quite effective.
Mm. Yeah.
Creepy, creepy. There'll be a lot of people going to VPNs.
Yeah, or doing proxies through Canada.
I wouldn't do it for here very long. We don't tend to take too long to follow behind. Now that said, let's get to what's another one here. Actually, this is good. Finally, Google Analytics has added change history. These are all the sort of things that fall into line of what you're doing on a daily basis. You go, oh man, I wish it just had this. It seems so logical, and they never do. But I shouldn't say never. They do. They take forever. And
sometimes these things are not as easy as they sound. You know what I mean? From mm-hmm. a programmatic standpoint, oh, why can't you just track the changes we make in our analytics account? Well, that might sound simple, but I bet you it was a pain in the ass to implement.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, Google's, but you know, they're getting a lot of money out of us anyway, so why not?
Yeah. So you want to explain what happened with this change history?
Yeah, well, I don't know a lot of detail other than the fact that, and this is the best part, is that essentially as an administrator of a Google Analytics account, you could have other users going inside and changing certain specs on filters, on advanced segments. And I'm sorry if I'm speaking Greek to anyone who hasn't used Google Analytics, but if you haven't, you got to get in there and use it. It's amazing. Yes. And this information will now be tracked so that you can see who made those changes and when.
So
before, there was no way to do it.
Yeah, for example, if you were tracking a certain set of keywords and you had automatic reports being sent to you, and all of a sudden those reports changed, you can go in and see who made the changes in the back-end system, and you can understand, you can go to them and say, hey, why'd you make these changes, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just I'm watching it.
Yeah, it's more of an accountability thing than anything.
Well, yeah, and you can also find out where a mistake was made. It might have been yourself, right? You go back and go, oh, crap. I messed up this filter or whatever. I think it's good to have that. The other thing that people should be doing, and I think this is a good reminder, sort of a dovetail, is that whenever they make changes to their site of any significance, they should be going back into Google Analytics and annotating that date that they did that change. And you know what would be beautiful? And they need to do this too. Maybe they've already done it, but they need to make it so that you can annotate the day you did it instead of having to wait a day for it to show up in the analytics data.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be really nice.
Oh, that's annoying.
And they should also make this change for the change history in Webmaster Tools, because there's a number of things in Webmaster Tools that could really hose a site. And if someone got in there and didn't know what they were doing, and so you could go back and say, okay, you know, who did this and why, that to me would be more valuable than an analytics, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's what happens when we get free things. You know, they take their time to update.
Yeah. I know. That's why someday they're going to have a paid version of all this stuff. They'll have all the cool tools, and then you'll have to pay for them. Or you just wait 6 months for them to come out on the free version. It'll happen.
That'd be a stink. Imagine how much of a stink they'd get for that. Oh, my God.
And that's their own fault. They set the premise. They set the expectations of all this stuff being free. They got to live with it.
Yeah, and their sacrosanct don't be evil garbage.
Yes.
It's long since destroyed. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about their newest renovation. It's going to have a pretty huge Googleplex coming out, and a couple of things about Panda.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ever wondered how you could have access to your own SEO expert, paid search specialist, or social media wizard? Looking for help with your affiliate, display media, or email marketing? Look no further than the folks at Fang Digital Marketing. Fang Digital specializes in both paid and organic search, social media, display, and mobile advertising solutions, and is staffed by industry veterans from Google, Yahoo, and one of the industry's most influential PPC experts. Fang Digital's award-winning staff stays on top of the latest digital trends and offer tailored solutions so they can audit your progress and build a roadmap to your success. Learn more about them.
The SES Conference and Expo is making a springtime stop to New York City, March 25th through the 28th. SES New York 2013 is moving to a brand new venue in the heart of Times Square at the New York Marriott Marquis. Register now at sesconference.com. SES New York 2013 features some of the best and brightest minds in search and social marketing with keynote addresses by top-level executives from Google, Twitter, ESPN, and more. SES New York 2013 will also feature a loaded expo hall and Texpo Pavilion, on-site training by the ClickZ Academy, WebmasterRadio.fm's annual Search Bash, and so much more. Registered before Thursday, February 21st, and save $600 off early bird registration. SES New York 2013 at the New York Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square, March 25th through the 28th. Register now at sesconference.com.
Aim clear. This is how you sell with social.
Have you tried to do CPA conversions using social PPC and failed? You're not alone. These days, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube require true specialists to dominate.
Aim Clear,
the agency, brings definitive psychographic targeting,
bleeding-edge creative,
and killer content amplification to the social advertising table.
Aim Clear, this is how you sell with social.
Aim Clear,
this is how you sell with social.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
And welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So I'd like to be an architect for Google. I think that'd be a pretty cool job.
No doubt. And I'm reading some of the descriptions of this new renovation at their headquarters in Mountain View. And everything sounds cool. And then it gets to the part where it says, no employee will be more than a 2.5-minute walk from a coworker. So basically, you can get to anywhere on the campus from anywhere else in less than 2.5 minutes. That's just incredible to me. Unless they have like people movers in the airport everywhere around, which wouldn't surprise me, but
slides.
We've both been there, and that place is huge already, and they're going to like double the size of it. It's amazing.
They've got to have slides. That would make so much sense.
Slides would be great. Fireman poles. Fireman poles. Yeah. Yes. That would be
awesome.
For
the 4-story down, just don't fall.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. I love that the new campus will encourage, quote-unquote, casual collisions of the workforce. Try not to be dirty. Okay.
So I'll tell you, though, I still look at Apple's new expansion they're supposed to be building, and it looks way cooler. I'm just saying, you know, anything that looks like a spaceship that's landed in the middle of the field is way cooler. Have you seen the pictures of the Apple one? It's a giant, giant circle building with what looks like a big park in the middle of it. It looks amazing.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that is it Jupiter's moons might be called Vulcan?
Oh, really? I didn't hear that. That's awesome.
I just saw it on a title. I have no idea if it's true. It was on Discovery, but I just had it.
So as long as we're talking about things we heard about outer space, apparently there's a private company that plans to put a man on Mars by 2022 or something like that.
Well, yes, I've heard that.
Yeah. So
it's corroborated. It must be true.
Yes, we both heard it from different places, so it has to be true. And they're both probably on the internet, and as we know, everything on the internet is true.
Oh, definitely. Google has analyzed the employees' needs and habits for the new building. I wonder. So the ones with irritable bowel syndrome are in this one area.
You would go there. Are you having problems today we need to know about?
I'm just in a nasty mood. And it's all rooting for one thing. I'm pissed off at WebEx. I signed up for this QuickBooks thing. I'm going to be writing about this. I'm hoping to get it in one of these.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on your Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just brutal. And they it's supposed to give me remote access to my QuickBooks. Now, I know I can do remote access other ways, but I was lazy. And it's free. It came with it. So I'm like, all right, I'll sign up. And they sent my login and password to my system, the one that would access my computer. They sent it to me in email. Yeah, that is like...
That's bad.
Incomprehensible. I mean, people can get access to my entire QuickBooks of all things, all my financials. It's not even my computer.
I've been QuickBooks and Quicken have been kind of on my shit list for years now because of the way they capture and store and do not give you your data if you want to leave them. So, once you sign up with them, it's probably, at least it used to be, it was impossible to leave and get your data and transport it to another accounting system. So I've not liked them since then. I used to use Mint.com and it was great. Mint was great until Quicken bought them. And then it started going downhill. So I've been very anti-Quicken folk for a long time, but that's just me personally. Does not reflect the views of the radio station, Brasco.
Yeah, he's already got that covered. Yeah, well, in our case, I actually do like QuickBooks, but I don't like this. And I'm all over WebEx, and I actually emailed them. And I'm going to get past this quickly. Sorry, listeners, but I'm ranting. And they actually replied, and I still can't believe they said this, that I want to quote them, so I'm fair and nasty at the same time. I just can't believe this.
Oh.
Piss. I can't find it. Anyways, they essentially said that that's standard, that they send that because email is supposed to be secure.
Because it was going to... No, I think what it said, if I remember from your post on Facebook, they said it's secure because it's going to your email address and no one else is supposed to have access to your email address.
And they completely forget that it has to get there first, which is like completely insecure and can be sniffed. It can be there's a number of ways that information could have been found. It's frightening. Anyways, I'm gonna make life miserable until they fix that. That's unbelievably unreasonable. Anyway, had the nerve to make it sound like I was wrong, that they should have more security. I was like, are you serious? Okay, we're doing SEO 101. That's security 100.
Yeah, that's the prerequisite to get into the security classes. You have to know what that is.
Anyways, sorry all of you guys. Hope you don't mind. But okay, so let's get to the next bit here. Now, I guess we're getting into some questions now.
Yeah, we had a couple of questions on the Facebook page, the Google Plus page. One of them we've covered a couple times, but since it came up again, I thought we might want to just really quick go over it. And we had somebody, it was Jeffrey Laplin from the Google Plus community, was asking about how to configure a site. So he wants to start marketing to specific areas in his state. And he had a question. The question we've had in the past was, do I use subdomains, subfolders, or a combination of or domains? So his examples were state A, mycompany.com, or should I do state A dot mycompany.com, or should I do mycompany.stateA.com, or how do I configure this, or should I do it as a subfolder, or is mycompany.com/stateA?
Wow.
Yeah, so he put all the possibilities, and we've talked about this in the past, Ross. I personally believe you should always go with a subfolder, but occasionally there's options where if you need a subdomain, as long as you have a big enough amount of content and it can be a real site under that subdomain and it makes sense, then you can go with a subdomain. But if you're going to do 50 subdomains, one for each state, that's pretty much a clear indicator that you're probably not using it correctly. But I think that the idea of doing a different state domain and having your company as a subdomain for each one of those, that's definitely should be off the table. That one doesn't make sense to me at all.
If you could find the stateaid.com.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. But then you're really managing, let's say you're doing 50 states, you're managing 50 different TLDs, or at least if you're doing subdomains, you got one TLD with subdomains, which is a little bit stronger than 50 separate domains.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know where Jeffrey might have learned some of this, because, I mean, even the fourth one, I'm glad we're helping you out here, Jeffrey. Am I hurting myself, or will I be penalized if I do mycompany.com/stateA? Subfolder will never penalize you. That's the best way to go. I mean, I hope you, if anyone said this to you, gave you this impression, don't listen to them anymore.
yeah, definitely, because that's your best option. Unless there's a really compelling reason to use a subdomain or a different domain, your number four is your best option.
Yeah, and just also to answer one of your other questions is, do you have to buy a subdomain? No, you can add as many subdomains as you want to a domain if you really wanted to use subdomains. It's not a purchased thing. It's unlimited. Right.
And so some domain registrars make it really easy to create subdomains, or some hosts make it really easy to create subdomains. Some, it's much more complicated. It really depends on your hosting service more than anything on how easy it is to create a subdomain.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next question is, thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate that, and we hope he helped you there. If you don't, by all means, do a follow-up, and we'll try and help you out. Now, Jamie Sparks left a message on Google Plus community as well. He says, hi, everyone. I was wondering if anyone had any ideas on how to optimize specifically for Bing. Basically, I've read some material which suggests 1, domain age, 2, title tags, and 3, flash elements are all good ways to specifically optimize for Bing. But was wondering if anyone had any other good tips. Flash elements. Wow,
that's the one that jumped out at me, too. Flash elements as an optimization technique for Bing. I guess if you're using flash elements as opposed to a full flash page, that would be a good but that would work for any search engine, not just Bing.
Well, and not as a good SEO technique, just plain good sense to have a textual version.
Yeah. my thought when I first read this question was basically, you know, if you're doing everything correctly from an SEO standpoint, it usually works for all the engines. But I have been thinking a lot recently about trying to figure out ways to better optimize for Bing specifically. And I haven't put as much time into that as I want to. But the reason I'm thinking about it is because of the graph search in Facebook. Search in Facebook, the default search is Bing. So most people are not going to know how to search in graph search for quite a while because it really makes you change the way you search for things. And when they search, it's going to come up with no results for a lot of these types of searches. And when it comes up with no results on Facebook, the default you get is Bing. So I've been thinking, and a lot of people have been thinking, how do we do better in Bing because of this? Because once this rolls out, it's going to drive a lot of search traffic to Bing. It really will.
Yeah, and I don't see their relationship breaking down anytime soon. They seem pretty tight.
Yeah, although Google, Sergey, what the heck? It's not Larry Page, the other guy.
Sergey Brin,
I can never pronounce his name. He and his wife have just joined in a philanthropy type of an engagement with Zuckerberg, and they're very tight in this. So there is some talk between them because they've really connected over this new project with the philanthropy, however you say that.
Yeah, well, you know, the philanthropy gig is going to be good. I mean, it could turn out to contest, like trying to beat each other out and how much they're donating.
Yeah, that's very true. But they've actually developed a closer relationship because of this. So maybe we might see a little opening up between Google and Facebook at some point. It's promising anyway. Mm-hmm. Nothing guaranteed.
Well, I think that's a very good idea. And thank you for bringing that up, James. I think Bing is definitely the bit. And we didn't actually answer his question, I guess.
His specific elements, he says domain age and title tags, those are basic SEO tenants that work for all search engines. I mean, domain age works on Google as well as Bing. Title tags need to be optimized for both Bing and Google. The Flash elements, you know, they should be just elements and not a full Flash
page.
You're
using Flash. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So all the things that you mentioned and most everything that you think about from an SEO perspective is good for both of those sites.
So, yeah, just quickly, just to make sure I was on track, I did a quick scan of all the, you know, there's always a whole ton of how-to Bing optimization articles, just to see if there was anything that would surprise me. Nothing did. So I would say that, you know, there's nothing that really stands out as a lot different, other than the fact that, if anything, Bing's algorithms tend to be a little less mature than Google's. So typically, if you do get a good ranking in Bing, yes, it will follow in Bing. In Google, it will follow in Bing. So I think
now the one thing we can say though is Bing is actually using a lot more visual elements and partner data in its search results than they used to. So there's more of an opportunity in Bing now to get in there with video and imagery and other types of data. If you're using schema.org type of data, you know, it works in Google, but it looks like Bing to me in a lot of cases is leveraging that a little more than Google is. So that's one thing to think of.
Yeah, I think anyone who can find a benefit in having their content, how should we turn this into a verb? Schematized?
That's a good verb. I'm going to start using that. I like that. Schematize. You need to schematize your site.
Yes. Then do it, because it is going to have a little more effect as time goes on, and a lot over the long run. And he's right. I mean, any of these advanced but lesser search engines are going to be taking more risks, and schema.org content or markup makes a lot of sense.
Definitely. And anytime you can use that, especially if you're doing a site redesign, get the schema in there. Talk to your designers. Make sure they're referencing it and using it wherever they can. There's lots and lots of different pieces of it that can be used based on the different types of content that you're publishing. So use it wherever and whenever you can.
Perfect. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to send them by either posting it on facebook.com/SEO101podcast, or if you'd like, you can talk to, I almost forgot about Google Plus, or our Google Plus community. Just go to Google Plus and type in SEO or SEO 101 in the search, and you'll find us in no time flat. You can also email myself at ross@stepforth.com, or you can reach John via Twitter via @JohnCarcutt. Have a great week, and remember to tune in to future episodes, which air at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.